Ladies and gentlemen, Texans and Tejanos, you are tuned to the show that talks the talk and walks the walk. It's Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your host, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas. It is, my friends, as always, a great day to be a Texan. If you missed part of the show, don't forget, it's available as a podcast. You can go pick it up at prattontexas.com. All right, my friends, coming up today, our Lone Star story of the day. Election integrity bill passes the Texas House, but it'll take much to get in agreement with the Senate. There are so many changes. But all the Democrat amendments that kept them up to the middle of the night did was practically push the process of rewriting the bill to the conferees, which doesn't favor Democrats at all. It's kind of funny. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing the best service in DOT business and personal drug and alcohol testing since 1995, AlliedCompliance.com. Well, an Austin operative named Todd Smith, with whom I have a history, a top aide to Sid Miller, has been arrested on corruption charges. I'm surprised they could keep the handcuffs on him. He's so slimy. We've got much important news from the legislature, including a revival of the bill protecting female sports being resurrected in committee here at the last moment by a Democrat. Boy, that's got the Democrats mad. Also, the oil and gas rig count out from Baker Hughes, a Wu flu update on the state, and ERCOT and more. A lot ahead, my friends, so just get ready to listen fast on Pratt on Texas. 8 weeks after Texas COVID-19 restrictions rolled back, 8 weeks, basically 2 months, case numbers stay low. The Texan pointing out that since Governor Abbott lifted that stupid, never should have been in place mask mandate and business capacity restrictions across the state, the number of COVID cases, hospitalizations, and fatalities has remained low. As the vaccine rolled out in the following months, those numbers plummeted to 3,4700, talking about hospitalizations by the time the orders were lifted. Since then, cases and hospitalizations have steadily declined to about 1,900 and 2,600, a lot less since announcing the rollback of restrictions. That Democrats have been running around stomping their feet and wanting restrictions. Abbott's announcement to end the statewide mandates was met with a flurry of criticism from Democrats, many of whom decried the governor as signing the, quote, death warrant of Texans. Hadn't come to pass. Just like how Democrat economic policies never create economic prosperity or pretty much anything else. Baker Hughes is out with the rotary rig count. The U.S. number of active drilling rigs increased by 8 in the nation this week. Canada added 4, says a total of 12 in North America. Texas was up 5 drilling rigs to 217. Now we're actually, you know, seeing some gain over where we were a year ago in the depths of the oil bust. 173 were active a year ago this time. We're up to 217 this week. Good deal. And ERCOT forecast record-breaking power demand this summer in Texas. Let me read you a few quotes out of a story at Fuel Fix or the Houston Chronicle by Paul Takahashi. The Electric Reliability Council of Texas on Thursday released its final seasonal forecast for this summer, predicting record peak power demand of 77,144 megawatts. The summer record set August 2019 was the record we currently have was 12 August 2019, when demand was 74,820 megawatts. The grid manager said it expects to have enough generation to meet record demand. But they didn't rule out the possibility for tight grid conditions on the hottest summer days when demand for air conditioning is at its highest. Electricity supplies often stretch during the blazing summers. Now listen to this. If we get into a combination of high demand and low wind or low solar output, or a high number of generators that have been unavailable because they've been running so hard, then we may need to go into emergency operation, said Woody Rickerson, ERCOT's VP of Planning and Operations. That's right. If we get into a combination of high demand, you know, high pressure zone, the wind drops off, super hot, so you don't get a much wind stuff or low solar output, oop, we'll be in trouble. Later on, talking about the winter disaster, it said, in light of the catastrophic power failure in the winter, ERCOT on Thursday said it took into account 3 additional extreme weather scenarios to create its summer forecast. Considering scenarios of high heat and low wind or forced power plant outages that have less than a 1% chance of occurring. For comparison, ERCOT said the February winter storm was a 1 in 100 event, which is 1%. I don't know what the comparison there was. If For the first time, ERCOT said it'll visit a select group of power plants to evaluate their summer weatherization plans. Okay. If power demand exceeds supply, ERCOT said it's prepared to call for emergency operations, including ordering power utilities to turn off power to preserve the integrity of the grid. Right, you have to do that. Allerman with Enverus said ERCOT's historic emphasis on summer preparedness and the addition of new solar and wind power will likely prevent a massive grid collapse similar to that in February, but he too didn't rule out the possibility of rolling outages. If we get in a combination of high demand and low wind or low solar output, we're in trouble. Well, and the geniuses running Lubbock are voluntarily forcing the citizens of Lubbock, where I live, and their municipal power organization to move to the ERCOT grid. Ratepayers paying all the cost, going to be paying it for years and years, paying all the cost to move over there when we're on one of the most stable and low-cost grids in the country, historically, the Southwest Power Pool. This is one of the biggest stupid things we've ever done on the high plains of Texas in the city in which I live. And believe me, like any city, there are a lot of stupid things that get done. Oh, you don't think it's bad enough you're having to pay to interconnect to a grid that's always on the verge of problems? Listen to this. Texas Tribune's Aaron Douglas. And I don't like this bill, but lawmakers propose electricity market bailout after winter storm. An approximately $2.5 billion plan to bail out Texas' distressed electricity market from the financial crisis caused by the winter storm. Quit calling it Winter Storm Uri. Nobody but you all calls it that. It's just the big freeze. Was approved by the House yesterday. The legislation would impose a fee. I told all of you people that we're all in a panic, and you thought there's some magic government out there like bond money. People think that's free money. They're going to come bail it out. I told you, any bailout you're going to pay for. Let the markets work. If they go bankrupt, let them go bankrupt, and then somebody will pick them up on the cheap, have fatter margins. The legislation would impose a fee likely for the next decade or longer. Hey, Lubbockites, you're being forced to move into that. You're going to pay that fee too. On electricity companies, which would then get passed on to residential and business customers in their power bills. Lawmakers on Wednesday said they could not yet estimate how much it would affect the electricity bills, but they passed it anyway. They sent House Bill 4492 to the Senate on 129-15 vote. There's a similar bill advancing in the Senate. Chris Patty of Marshall, Representative Patty, the bill's author, said a second bailout would be necessary during the current legislative session for severely distressed electric cooperatives. There's a huge financial crisis. It's a big one going on and on and on. You got the same kind of stuff they always say in Washington. Well, you got to free the system and stuff. No, the system works. Anyway, the newly created, if approved by the governor and passed by the Senate, if these bills, you know, make it to law, the Texas Electric Securitization Corp would use the money raised from the fees for bonds to help pay the company's debts, including costs for ancillary services and blah, blah, blah. Patty told colleagues he could not yet estimate how long the new fee would be imposed, but see, they're already talking a decade or more. Think that'll ever go away? But during committee hearings, lawmakers estimated it's likely to be at least a decade, and he can't tell you how much it is. And the geniuses running the city of Lubbock that had a very efficient and effective municipal utility, it sits on one of the most low-cost producing and reliable electric grids in these United States, the Southwest Power Pool, all got together in a quick rush cabal before anybody could have time to build up opposition years ago, and then the ones there now, they're all for it too, to move Lubbockites over to this ERCOT system. And Lubbockites, you're paying a huge fee to do that. You're having to shoulder the burden. This is the way regulated utilities work. Just goes on your bill as part of the fee to build all that interconnection stuff. Boy, you have really been, you were sold a pig in a poke. What a hose, what a job on you. And I knew it, and I said it in the beginning, and I was one of the only voices. Fees, fees, fees. What happened to all that competitive rates you were going to get out of ERCOT? Back in a moment, my friends.
It's time for Pratt to breathe. Pratt on Texas returns in a moment.
I've told you about my wonderful experience with Dr. Sylvia Zuniga in dental care in Costa Rica. Not only was it among the most positive experiences and best dental work I've experienced, my trip to Costa Rica, one of the hottest tourist destinations on the planet, included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and even a private driver. And the entire bill, total spending, was less than half of the best quote I got at home, a quote that was for much less dental work than I obtained from Dr. Zuniga. A couple from Lubbock now knows what I mean. They wrote to say, "We used your suggestion to go to Sylvia in Costa Rica. She was wonderful. Instead of $7,400, I spent $1,640, and not only for my dental work, but for my husband's too. It was a refreshing adventure, and she guided us in things to do. Thank you for letting listeners know." If you have big dental needs and challenges, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, prattontexas.com.
You've heard about their politics all day. Now it's time for ours. It's Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, friends and neighbors. Today in Texas history in 1824, that's right, decade, a little more than a decade before our revolution, the Mexican state of Coahuila y Texas, that's us, was created when Mexico drafted its new constitution. One of the things we were all talking about during that revolution was making them abide by the Constitution of 1824, which the centralists didn't want to. Well, my friends, we'll get to the big election integrity story in a moment. The big has-the-tongues-wagging story is that, well, here's the headline by Patrick Svitek in the Texas Tribune, top political aide to Texas Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller. Well, Sid Miller's not accused of anything here, but of course you got to tie that to him. But he should know better. He's hired a bunch of slimy people. Top political aide to Miller arrested in alleged scheme to take money in exchange for hemp licenses. No kidding. Top political consultant to Ag Commissioner Sid Miller was arrested Thursday on allegations that he participated in a scheme to solicit money and campaign contributions for state hemp licenses issued by the Texas Department of Agriculture. The consultant, Todd Smith. Notice how they didn't put Todd's name in the headline, they put Sid Miller's, even though it's not Sid Miller that's in trouble. Todd Smith ultimately, they say, took $55,000 as part of a scheme. An arrest warrant obtained by the Tribune says Smith and others involved in the scheme are alleged in the warrant to have solicited a total of $150,000 to guarantee a license, including a $25,000 upfront cost for a survey they said was required to get a license here. Some of the money would also go toward funding unnamed political campaigns, according to the affidavit. The affidavit alleges Smith committed a third degree felony theft. Todd Smith created by words in his conduct a false impression of the fact that affected the judgment of others in transactions to obtain a hemp license and or conduct a survey that was never attempted by Todd Smith, the affidavit read. Allegations were investigated by the Rangers Public Integrity Unit, which is responsible for looking into public corruption. Affidavit said Todd Smith used another person as a middleman between himself and those interested in getting licenses. Affidavit doesn't provide much info on the middleman. Part of it here says the affidavit says the middleman told the license seeker that he was working directly with senior leadership at TDA and that he needed $150,000 in cash with some of the money going toward campaign contributions in order to receive a guaranteed hemp license. Affidavit said the license seeker learned later that month that he was not guaranteed a license despite the scheme that had been proposed to him. He reached Smith via phone, who denied any knowledge but did admit to receiving a $5,000 gift from the middleman. Smith has previously been under scrutiny for blurring campaign and official lines. The Statesman reported in 2018 he told a San Antonio businessman he could get a TDA appointment if he loaned Miller's campaign, then donated to Miller's campaign. Then Smith asked the businessman for a $29,000 personal loan. Looks all personal to me. All I'm going to say is a lot of the hell that I went through was caused by the sliminess of Todd Smith and one of his former clients and buddies that lived in Lubbock. And we never did anything wrong, and that's why we fought it. And I don't know if he's guilty of this stuff at all. My comment at the top of the show was simply meant on my, based on my opinion of Todd Smith. I'm surprised the handcuffs can go on, because every time I've been anywhere near this guy, slimy is all that's come to mind. So I don't know how they put him on without him slipping off. There are just some people that do this kind of thing, and I don't know. Enough said, I guess. We'll see how it turns out. He's innocent until proven guilty. Senator Cruz applauds passage of Texas voting rights bill, saying today the Texas House passed SB 7 on second reading, a bill to safeguard our elections in Texas, despite immense pressure from the woke corporations and liberal media. The bill protects the voting rights of 29 million Texans and would make our elections in Texas more accessible and more secure. When Texans go to cast a vote, that vote should count. I'm grateful for the Republicans and the leadership in the Texas House and Senate who have been leading the fight to protect the integrity of our elections in Texas, and I hope this bill becomes law, said Senator Ted Cruz. Headline in the Statesman, after bitter fight and late changes, Texas House backs GOP election bill in 3 a.m. vote. Oh, yeah, there's a lot more. I've got a lot on this, and I just want to cover it in pieces. Here's the Dallas Morning News headline. Texas House approves pared-down elections bill in 3 a.m. vote. What is quite hilarious about this is the Democrats did all this amending. Now you have a bill already from committee that's very different from that that passed the Senate. Now, how does this work? When two bodies pass a bill, they change it. Then what happens? The leadership of the House and Senate, both Republicans, both in favor of these bills, appoint conferees. The conferees meet and essentially work out all the differences and then go suggest it to the whole body. Well, you're going to be in the last few days. Nobody has time to do too much objecting, and they're going to vote for it. And it's funny, the Tribune covered this saying, you know, this may push the writing of the bill into the back room. Well, that's, you know, it's a fair assessment. It's not exactly the truth. It's still all public. However, I do think it's funny because for all the Democrats showboating on this issue and still claiming it suppresses votes and that it's Jim Crow, which, of course, it doesn't make voting more difficult for any voter whatsoever. It puts some burdens on people around peripherally around the process who tend to do things that are fraudulent or who can coerce voters, and we know do coerce voters and things like that. There's no restriction on voting or anything in these bills. But all they've done is, by making it so incredibly different, they've ensured that the conferees are going to basically have such two different bills that they essentially do write a new bill. And I thought it was funny when the Tribune picked that up, tons of the lefty political and, you know, other websites out there today have picked that story up, and they're panicking. It'll be written in the back room. Well, you caused it. There are always repercussions. The Statesman, part of its coverage, said many of the changes that were negotiated in the early morning hours by members of both parties were designed to reduce criminal penalties for election law violations. Well, that's no good. That's the whole point. We want to have real teeth for these fraudsters out there and limit criminal liability for mistakes made by voters and those who help them cast a ballot. Really? Okay. The 18 late amendments, including 13 from Democrats, made for a rancor-free ending in the night's debate. What happened? It went on, and then they got a fight, and then they tried some stuff to stall it, and then that had to pause for a long time. Then you come back later, it stop again, and, you know, 10:30, they postponed for an hour anyway. And then they went out and did all these things together and just kind of got it done. But, you know, the crazy stuff being objected to. Rafael Anchia of Dallas, big liberal, took exception to the statement of purpose in the bill that says preserve the purity of the ballot box. You know why we can't use that word? Because historically, apparently somebody, which of course would have been the Democratic Party, used the word purity to deny black Texans the right to vote and have their all-white primaries. I noticed in none of the press reports they didn't point out that that was the Democratic Party in Texas that had its all-white primary that went to the Supreme Court. And are you aware of the history of that? So Chairman Kane said, no, I'm sorry to hear that. Okay, we'll change it to integrity or something. I mean, you know, it's just crazy stuff. You got Jessica Gonzalez, rep of Dallas, saying, it's old Jim Crow dressed up what our colleagues are calling election integrity. Interesting that candidates have been able to appoint they keep saying poll watchers. Oh, she claims that having poll watchers there is used to intimidate and harass black and Latino voters. Here's the problem. There's nothing partisan about it. Any candidate on the ballot can appoint poll watchers, and they do all the time from all sides. We've had poll watchers my entire adult life, and yet we've never heard how all these poll watchers are out there intimidating voters until now. It's a novel argument. It's just brought up for the lapdog propagandists, the media, for the Democrat Party to run with. Anyway, they tried to do a point of order and get it done. And some of the things that the House removed from the bill, I do not like at all. And I think it's a big mistake. For example, the apparently deleted provisions that were in the Senate bill, one of them was the ban on drive-through voting and overnight 24-hour polling locations. Well, that needs to stay in there. That's just sets up corruption.
He gets so much in during the show, you can handle a short break.
Pratt's back in a moment.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life, Health, Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Native Texan, or just got here as soon as you could. Welcome to Pratt on Texas. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
Ran out of time there in the last segment. Yeah, I mean, some of the things they took out of here, a ban on drive-through voting and on overnight or 24-hour polling locations, those things should be gone away. Those should definitely be banned. Nobody ever thought we had it because nobody ever understood the law to mean that you could. It's just Harris County went out and did it. How the hell do you get enough poll watchers and people to be there in the middle of the night? This is why they're fighting on these issues. They know it'll be hard to keep watch 24 hours a day on this stuff. Who's going to show up with a big dump of ballots and stuff and a bunch of people aren't, they're going to, you know, pay them to do it at 4 a.m., get them out of the clubs when they come out at 2 or 3 in the morning. Anyway, they took, they tightened up a bunch of language. It's just, it's a lot of stuff, but I want to go to this big Associated Press party story, Well, you can tell when I get really frustrated with this stuff, the words start escaping. The Associated Propagandist at the AP, big national story. Some Republicans worry voting limits will hurt the GOP too. First line, the sentence, lead. As Republicans march ahead with their campaign to tighten voting laws in political battlegrounds, some in their party are worried the restrictions will backfire by making it harder for GOP voters to cast ballots. Well, you understand why that's bull, because there's not anything being done anywhere. It makes it harder for anybody to cast a ballot. But, of course, one of the first quotes they get, because they're covering a lot of states here, is that old liberal Lyle Larson out of San Antonio, state rep. The suppression tactics included in this bill would hurt the Republican Party as much or more than its opposition, Lyle Larson said in an opinion column. One can only wonder, are the bill authors trying to make it harder for Republican voters to vote? Now, that's just stupid. Florida's new law requires voters to request their mail ballots every 2 years rather than every four. Oh, my gosh. Somebody who can do it every 4 years, like now, is not competent to do it every 2 years? Come on. Republicans in other states are pressing ahead. In Ohio, another Republican-dominated state, a bill introduced Thursday would restrict placement of drop boxes, eliminate a day of early voting, and tighten voter ID requirements. Good. That affects all voters equally. Republican lawmakers have zeroed in on mail voting, mailing, they mean M-A-I-L, you know, mail-in ballots. And they claim here it's because of a shift with Democrats using more. No, this has been a problem for years, and all the election watchers have been screaming behind the scenes about the problem with mail-in ballots since I can remember. And it goes on and on. Florida Republicans have long held an advantage in mail voting. They mean not. This is terrible writing. They don't mean the sex mail. They mean mail-in voting, or voting by mail would be the right way to say it. There are no editors anymore. Max Stepanovich, a longtime Republican operative who has long since left the party. In other words, he's not a Republican. He was just another one of those profit seekers, rent seekers. Said there's a risk that new election rules in Florida could end up having other unintended consequences. Bull, I can define all this for you. It's real simple. Democrats and liberal fake Republicans think voters, especially their own voters, are stupid and can't handle regular functions of living and voting. That's why they go on and on about, oh my God, it's impossible to have an ID if you're poor or of color, which is in itself absurd from every angle. The rest of us, the right-thinking people, think voters are plenty able enough to handle basic functions of life every day, like registering to vote or requesting their mail-in ballot, which is what they've always had to do anyway. There's no restriction on that. All this making it difficult stuff is just a show of soft bigotry from people who think, oh, I can do it, but those people can't. And it's so funny to hear minorities who are Democrats making these arguments all the time as if the people in their districts are just so stupid. Remember back on voter ID? Oh, my God, they could never get an ID. Oh, they won't be able to request a ballot. Oh, my God, they'll be intimidating for voting because a third party, somebody that, you know, signs that oath of assistance, which you've always had to sign that oath of assistance under penalty of law, might have to disclose something. It doesn't affect the voter. The voter can ask one of the election alternate judges or clerks to help too, and they'll sign the assist, the voter assist thing. It's not like you're denying anybody assistance. The people that work the polls can do the same exact stuff. Well, the Democrats don't want that. They want these outsiders that come in, tell them how to vote, and run these scams. So the morning news had a few pieces. Lauren McGaughey writing there, the changes in the bill significantly pared down some of the sections voting rights groups have said were particularly worrisome, including some criminal penalties and problematic language. Now, there may have been problematic language. There always is. But we need the criminal penalties. We need to be able to scare the living daylights out of these people who are running around saying, oh, I make a full-time living. All these politicaras in the valley and people have been prosecuting. Going, I don't know what's wrong. Well, it's all what you do. Everything you do has been against the law for years. Well, so I do it. I mean, it's how we do things here. Well, you ought to go to jail. Democrats warned the legislation would discourage voter assistance. Really? Really? No, it discourages their Democrat Party front groups going out and rounding people up, filling in their ballots for them, or intimidating them into filling their ballots the right way. For example, like that lady in San Antonio that Project Veritas caught this last election in November saying she did on somebody. Oh, Representative Turner, liberal, said, it's straight up assault on voting rights. Key provisions of this bill will be overturned by the courts. Really? Well, there might be a provision or two, but why? There's nothing in the bills that restrict voting rights or registering to vote rights. None. None. What the media keeps calling restrictions, I want to reinforce this again because you need to tell your neighbors. Most everything they've called a restriction is not a restriction in this sense. It's something we never had. Nobody in the state ever thought you could run early voting 24 hours a day or set up these drive-through vote centers. It was never provided for in the election law. Harris County, with their specifically hired clerk to come in, the Democrat Party activist, they just said, well, it's not prohibited by law. We're just going to do everything. And remember, the courts stopped them, but they were going to mail voting by mail application to every single voter in the county. That's never been allowed in Texas. You've always had to request your ballot by mail. There aren't restrictions in this stuff. There's no anything related to a voter in making it hard to vote. It's mostly all process stuff designed to let us punish and try to put some barriers up to the fraud and try to punish the fraudsters who get involved on such a regular, systematic basis. Oh, what do you mean? Election fraud's very rare. No, it isn't. Catching it's rare because we don't have the systems in place. That's like when they said we're voter ID. Well, who's voting in other people's names? That's the point. You can't ever know whether it's rare or rife. You can't know how rare it is or how common it is because the system itself was set up in such a way that it's statistically almost impossible to catch it. That's why you want to have the voter ID so you have a system where you can catch people trying to vote in other people's names. And then that system, when properly implemented, what does it do? It deters people from doing that, from doing the fraud to begin with. So this stuff just continues, but it's just amazing. Oh, the courts will overturn. Overturn what? Rules that say poll watchers can actually be poll watchers and that the partisan staff can't kick them out? I mean, I'm not kidding you, folks. The media is running with this like it's, you know, as if it's some kind of new Jim Crow thing, and that's what the Democrats are saying. And there's simply nothing in these bills that are anywhere like that or anything like that. It doesn't rise to, oh, well, you know, this is the battle we're all going to have to fight. And we're going to be fighting it the rest of our lives, especially those of us who are older. You're not going to keep your republic unless you stand up to these people every day. And one of the best things you can do is turn off even the fake conservative news outlets that still run left-wing propaganda at the top and bottom of the hours and all that stuff, because they're all enablers. Every darn one of them's an enabler of this stuff. You repeat stuff enough, people believe it. That's how propaganda works. And we've got to tune that out. We'll be back in a moment on Pratt on Texas.
Patience is a virtue. Pratt on Texas continues after this.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Standing in spirit with those who won Texas liberty and working to stop the hordes on the left, it's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. We'll get back to the legislature in a moment. Congressman Jody Arrington of Texas 19 put out a statement on the dismal April jobs report, and he said, "Today's dismal jobs report's a sign of what's to come under Biden's job-crushing policies, and is a flashback to the anemic economic growth during the Obama-Biden administration. The results show the economy fell 734,000 jobs short of expert projections. It's no coincidence that this news arrives just as the Democrats' big government policies, like paying people more to stay home than to work, are beginning to take hold. The unemployment rate rose to 6.1%, the first time the rate has gone up during the recovery. 18,000 that's right, folks, even a year after all the lockdowns. 18,000 manufacturing jobs were lost in the country, and Biden's proposed tax hikes will cause even more damage by killing millions of additional jobs." That's right, Congressman Arrington, exactly right on that. Now, one of the big surprises in Austin, and boy, it's got the lefties upset. There were a lot of headlines. They all call this anti-transgender bill and stuff. It's not about that. There's no such thing as transgender. There's just boys pretending to be girls and girls pretending to be boys. Bill to protect women's sports gets new life, and that's the right way to put it, as you'd expect from Jeremy Kitchen at the scorecard, Texas scorecard. After the voting earlier this week, remember we covered it, to reject the bill. In other words, Harold Dutton, the Democrat chairman of the House Public Ed Committee, called for a vote. All the Republicans weren't even there at the time of the vote, and they didn't have enough to pass out of committee, so everybody said, okay, the big bill that has been killed. Well, this morning, the bill was resurrected by the Democrat chairman and passed out of committee, 8 in favor and 5 in opposition. What changed? Well, this is how politics work. It's why some folks get so mad. They just don't understand. You got to work with people. Late Thursday night, House Public Ed Committee's chairman, Harold Dutton, Democrat Houston, laid out a separate bill that would allow the education commissioner to address chronically failing schools. It's a big issue for Dutton because, remember, Houston ISD and many districts in his House district are in this description, and they're under trouble for, you know, failing to meet accountability standards. Bill was subjected to a lot of debate on the House floor, pitting many of the Houston area lawmakers against one another, as well as lawmakers who have historically been opposed to additional scrutiny on school districts. After being successfully amended a few times, a point of order was called and sustained that knocked the bill back to committee. This was a death sentence for Dutton's main bill, because the last day for House bills to be voted favorably out of committee is Monday, the 10th of May, Monday. The last day for the House to consider a calendar with new House bills is Thursday, May 13th. So when his bill got the point of order death sentence, Dutton responded by reintroducing SB 29. That's the bill to protect women's sports, to not let the, you know, to make it illegal for the boys pretending to be girls to go play in girls' sports in schools. He changed his vote from present to in favor, so he voted for it. And State Rep Dan Huberty was actually there this time, and he voted for it. And so Hebert is a joint author on Dutton's big bill on accountability stuff with TEA. And so the timing's important now. So the bill got out of committee. It goes to the House calendar, and look, they're going to tell you, oh, that Dustin Burroughs and calendars is keeping stuff off. Yeah, that's how it works. There's thousands of bills. You can't get them all in there. It's tough. But they'll try to get it in there. I think most all the Republicans are totally for this bill. There's been a lot of lies told in this case about Dustin Burroughs and his position on calendars. You know, you got these commercials claiming he was holding a bill up in calendars that the commercials were actually sent to the radio stations before the bill even got to the calendars committee, which, yeah, it just shows you. But anyway, we'll see. That's an amazing bit of turnabout. Texas House gives initial okay to penalize cities that cut police funding. That's right. That passed 91-55. Some Democrats voted for it. Terry Canales of Edinburgh, Bobby Guerra of Mission, mostly Rio Grande Valley guys. Bobby Guerra, Ryan Guillen, Tracy King, Armando Martinez, Eddie Morales, Sergio Munoz, Victoria Neve. She's from Dallas. The rest of these are every one of these, I think, except for Victoria Neve, and Dallas, Richard Pena Raymond are all from the Valley. They voted with Republicans on that to punish cities for not policing enough. The House killed a bill to let Lake Austin properties secede from the city. This is a real jerk of a deal. I covered this some time ago. You got a bunch of properties. They're really big mansions and stuff now. But they've been exempt from property tax in Austin because way back in the 19th century, the legislature ordered Austin to annex the shorelines of the Colorado River west of the city to allow the city to maintain the shorelines. More than 100 years ago, the city decided it would not collect property taxes from those areas because at the time they couldn't give any services to them. And so they've been exempt for decades. Well, they've had the exemption. A lot of them, because they're on the shore, they're big mansions. But there was a lawsuit that came up in 2019. A property owner brought the exemption to light, and the council, then a bunch of libs, we can't do that, and they revoked the extension, the exemption. And so a bunch of property owners there sued the city. Well, everybody said, it's not fair, they're not paying. It doesn't matter. They bought the property, that was the deal. And it had been in place for 100 years. So Senator Don Buckingham had the bill, Senate Bill 659, to make this part of state law, and I think it's right. And it's that liberal from Austin, Donna Howard, pulled a point of order and killed it. It had already passed the Senate, so it was going to pass, and she pulled this point of order on it. It's not fair, blah, blah, blah. The bill would have given the property owners the ability to force Austin to disannex them from the city via an unchallengeable petition. What's wrong with that? Howard killed the bill, and she's all against it. Oh, you know, the whole fairness argument. No, the fairness is that was the deal. When those people bought that property, it was exempt from that stuff. The city can not provide services all they want to. That's fine. So there you have it. That one looked like it was going to pass for sure, and then an Austin liberal couldn't stand it and had to end that. And it's just an example. It's why I call it the stench of local government. Agreements matter for all of us, most of us anyway, and we have to live by them. And of course, any government expects us to live by our side of any agreement. But anytime a government doesn't want to stand up with its agreements, they just don't. And if you sue them, they hide behind sovereign immunity, even on something like an employment contract, like Coach Mike Leach. There's nothing. This is a one-way deal. It's like living in one of these tyrannies where the monarch's never subject to any of the laws. Just infuriates. You know what happened in Texas City? KTRK reports that a family, their kids at a birthday party, were all out having a great time playing with Nerf guns, having Nerf wars, and some idiots called 911 on them. I don't know if they're anti-gunners or what. The cops came out and actually turned it into a really fun event for the kids. The cops handled it great, and the family's praising them. But they want to know which neighbor it was that called the cops because the little kids were playing with Nerf guns. We'll lose our culture if we don't stand up to this stuff. Trevor Noah, he's a comedian. There was a piece in the Summit News. Comedian Trevor Noah raged against health authorities in the U.S., insisting people who receive the vaccine still have to be subject to restrictions for COVID. The really frustrating thing is they've spent months, they spent 5 months telling us to get vaccinated. Oh, get vaccinated, and this will all be over. And I was like, great, I'll get all four vaccines if it means I get my life back. But now they're putting out a chart, and it says even if you get vaccinated, you can only do two more things without a mask on. Two! Guys, what the heck? The bleep you've been telling people's incoherent. You're telling us these new vaccines are 95% effective, which will stop coronavirus, but we still can't do anything without a mask on? Which is it? They write, he didn't get the memo. The new normal means continuing to be subjected to pedantic restrictions, even if you've already slavishly complied with all previous demands. That's right. Grow up, stand up to it, my friends. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God continue to bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
At Thacker Jewelry, we celebrate mom. And when the time comes to give her thanks, she deserves the very best. A gift that reminds her every day just how thankful you are for everything she gave you.
This year, let's show mom how much we care with 20% off all in-stock birthstone jewelry and receive a heart-shaped pendant with any in-store purchase while supplies last.
And when you're ready, we hope you'll start your story with Thacker's.